Hi guys, I'm Kristen and this is Carla.
Hi.
Join us as we explore origin stories and fun facts or something. Hello, my friend.
Hi. I almost danced so hard that my mic almost like fell off the thing.
I know we were really getting into the groove there.
I know. Okay, so today is a Kristen full episode. Kristen centric. I need to think of a good one. Carla full works.
Carla full does work.
Right. We'll Kristen, think of one for you.
Kristen. Nothing really works with Kristen. Even well, good I'll like good nicknames something. Don't. Okay. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. You're right. It is
so
my episode.
So let me just tell you my funny little thing first. Okay. Okay, so I have been playing, like, So I slept over at my sister's house because my nephew wanted to play Fortnite.
Yeah.
We played, I think, nonstop all the Saturday and then the Sunday, the half Sunday I was there. we stopped for food, but nothing else, right? And the excuse was, his allergies are really bad. And they were. He has, unfortunately, that where it's like that cumulative kind of like throughout the school week, he just gets so completely like shattered by these allergies. It's horrible. But so he's like, well, I don't really want to go outside because it's going to get worse. I'm like, yeah, that's fine. I'm kind of lazy anyway. Fortnite! Right? Like, just...
Oh okay. My gosh, that's my so tactic, fun though. A classic gaming weekend.
Right?
There's nothing better.
But that game is lethal. It's so addictive.
I like, dangerously play it. Addictive.
Oh no. And then I get really mad when I'm number two.
Oh no.
I can't. It's the worst. Anyway, okay, so quick story. I tend to hide in the shrubs sometimes. It's one part of my tactics.
Yeah.
Tactic, right? It's like, it's really useful. I think I mentioned this before. So I was hiding in the shrubs, but I wanted my nephew to like, go hide in a different area because being together is just asking for it, right?
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, you go hide in your own shrubs over there. I was like gesturing to this other giant shrub. Okay. Side note. Okay. He finds this little shrub, the tiniest shrub ever. Okay. So your character can crouch, right?
Yeah.
So he crouches in this tiny, like, I didn't even know that those existed in the game. Like, I just noticed it. Whatever, right? Good. Hiding place. In the game, they have this new feature where you can, like, get balloons that help you jump higher.
Oh, okay.
Right? And he started panicking. He's like, Auntie, my balloon. You can see it. And I looked. And I just see a little green shrub with a giant yellow balloon sticking out of it. It was literally the worst attempt at hiding I have ever seen, like in any cartoon or anything. I almost died. I'm like, yeah, go find a different hiding. We were laughing for a good 10 minutes. The fact that he didn't even clue in. And I'm like, where did you find the tiniest shrub? Like, go hide somewhere. I just wish that some other players had seen that. Because can you imagine just, like, in the game, you're like, walking along, there's just a balloon.
You're like, I can see you.
Yeah.
It's like when people try to hide behind this super thin tree. It's like, you can clearly see them.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Don't mention trees. I'm still bitter about my last number two loss where... The whole time I was sniping from behind a tree. Then for some reason I decide to snipe. I'm just standing out in the open, but I'm concentrating so hard on aiming. And I got shot immediately. And I'm like, I had the gall to be like, how did I get shot? And I looked and I'm like, I was just standing in the open.
They're like, great.
Yeah.
I see you.
That game, though, like I flipped over a tank at one point while I was in it.
You're living your best life in Fortnite.
Oh, you guys, it's so fun. So I had to share that stupid story because...
That's awesome.
Just imagine a cute little green shrub with a giant balloon coming out of it.
Oh, that's good. I wish I had some anecdotes about funny things that happened, but I don't. Alas, I do not.
That got so serious.
It really did.
So everybody sit down and shut up.
Everybody be quiet now. I have nothing to say.
District Attorney.
Oh my god! Yes, that's going
to
be my new name.
Quietly in work, and it's just like half an hour of you working.
I have some paperwork to do. Everybody, watch me.
And I'll be Mrs. Admin Assistant, watching you work.
Just a generic admin assistant. At least specialize in something, Donna.
What legal secretary? Forget
there
it.
There we go. Oh my gosh.
I want to hear your topic. I'm so excited. Go right immediately.
Okay, I'm going to jump into it because I obviously have nothing else to talk about in my life. Okay, so I just had a few days ago a very big birthday. I turned 40.
Yeah!
And so I thought it would be fun to learn about...
I like that you paused.
Like, why was I pausing you for so long? No!
I was saying, having a hold for applause.
Like, I was having a whole conversation in my head. Like, oh, it's gosh. You need to talk out loud.
You just
like,
full on pause, and I'm thinking, wow, she's really. Because
the tail end of the conversation in my head was like, wow, you've been quiet for a really long time.
Oh my God, you know what's that though? I did need that pause to kind of be jolted into some kind of reaction.
We are quite the pair.
Oh,
oh my
Lord.
God. Okay. So I thought it would be fun to learn about where birthday customs come from.
Dang.
And delve into the origin of like birthday celebrations. Like where did it start and why
I'm
certain
surprised
things.
We haven't done this yet. This is crazy.
Yeah. So
like
I
did forks and sunscreen and sausages and not birthdays.
No, we haven't had a birthday yet, so that's why. Like during
we're
the time
so
of our
egotistical.
Podcast,
I love it. Okay.
It has to relate to me, or I'm not doing it at all. So I'm going to talk a little bit about the general history of like why people started celebrating birthdays, and then I'm going to go into some specific origins of things that we do during our birthday celebrations, like little mini origins within a bigger origin.
Nice.
Ooh, getting really meta over here. That's not the definition of that.
You're good at hyping up your own episode.
I'm my own best hype man.
You are. Apparently I'm dead inside today.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So, okay. I totally pulled a Carla on this.
And how dare you?
I was going to say, this is the most brutal. I hated doing my research for this so much because everywhere I looked at so many different sources and every single place said the same garbage crap, almost verbatim, like almost word for word. And I'm like, no, you need to go into depth. What is that? Like,
yeah. Oh.
It was so brutal, so I apologize in advance for some of this. I think it'll be better than I remember it being from the research, but we'll see. Only time will tell. Okay, so when did we start celebrating birthdays at all? Because it's not
yesterday.
Something... Yesterday. You're right. This was my first birthday. It's not something that we've done the whole time.
Wait, can I say?
Yes.
I didn't know this until recently. My mother, and of course she wouldn't have... But she didn't have birthday parties as a kid. They didn't have them, really.
No way!
I don't know if it was, like, a Polish thing, but she was extremely poor and kind of, like, neglected. It was a horrible childhood, but, like...
I don't think my mom had...
Yeah, isn't that... Parties? And it just kind of weirdly blew my mind, where I'm like, wait, what? No birthday? Not even happy birthday? Like, how spoiled am I?
I wonder if my mom did... stuff because they were quite poor growing up too.
We need to get them on the podcast someday.
Yeah, we should. We should do like an old lady version.
Sorry, oh mom. Lord.
My mom's one of our only listeners too, so
yeah,
I'm really alienating
that?
Our entire audience. Sorry, mom, I love you.
I love you too. Oh my god. stupid.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So, scholars have pointed to the Bible's reference to a Pharaoh's birthday in Genesis chapter 40, verse 20, as the earliest known mention of a birthday celebration.
Why do you blow my mind immediately with your sermon presentations?
So the quote is, it says, "Now the third day was Pharaoh's birthday, and he gave a feast for all of his officials."
You're right.
Yeah. So that's the earliest mention of a birthday celebration. So some people said around 3000 BC, but I don't know if that's an accurate time. Some other people said 3000 years ago. So it was like, I don't know.
I think I saw like 3100 BC generally for another Egyptian thing. So I think you're fine.
Yeah.
3000. 26.
But Egyptologists say that this birthday is actually referencing the Pharaoh's coronation date, not the date that he was actually born.
Party pooper.
So mad.
I am.
So the reason that they do this is because when someone was crowned a pharaoh, they were considered to have become a god. So they're like basically being birthed into being like the realm of the gods kind of thing.
Side note, on my birthday, we're going to crown me pharaoh. Okay.
Okay. Thanks. You got it. So they were considered to be birthed as a god, which is their birthday. Oh. So their coronation was celebrated yearly going forward.
Oh, okay.
So the first birthday celebrations were really marking the birth of a god rather than a human. And this is basically when birthdays began. At this time, only royalty obviously had these celebrations because just regular people weren't gods. So that's the very, very earliest thing of like, okay, you're transforming into something and we're going to mark it on an annual basis.
Into something.
I transformed into a jerk last week and nothing happened. Okay, so now we go to the ancient Romans and Greeks. Mm-hmm. So the pagan religions of the ancient Greeks and Romans focused heavily on a cycle of offerings and festivals that marked special days. Mm-hmm. So they really liked festivals and stuff. They had tons of gods and like they were doing all kinds of stuff to make them happy.
Those party animals.
I know. They're like, we need to celebrate. We need more wine. Let's have an orgy. I timed that perfectly with you taking a drink.
Oh my gosh, thank you.
These days often corresponded to a particular natural or celestial event, and they drew crowds of revelers who would give gifts and offerings of food, wine, and handmade goods, and it would be given to a god or goddess. So this eventually, these festivals and celebrations eventually started to spread outside of the religious realm. And special days commemorating a single person or a local event started to become widespread.
Hmm.
So they were already partying, and they're like, this is great. We're partying for, like, Artemis, the goddess of whatever, whatever.
That's a lot of dancing. You sustained that really dance for dancing. That whole, like, paragraph.
We need to start recording.
We do need videos
doing
of
a video.
Yes.
I was dancing that whole time. Oh, boy. Okay, so it's transforming from just being religious celebrations to being, like, stuff that could commemorate a person or a local event. Okay. So wealthy members of society would gather to share gifts, food, and wishes with their family and friends for specific celebrations or specific occasions.
Mm-hmm.
It was during this period that the majority of common people, even slaves, began to celebrate certain days that were deemed important to their class, region, or family, with specific rituals that ended up resembling our modern-day birthdays. So, like, gift-giving, having, like, special food, like, the things that we do during birthdays, they would start doing them, basically having a party.
Right.
So the Romans were the first ones to celebrate birthdays for non-religious figures. So before this, that annual ritual was kind of considered like a birthday, I guess, if anybody, like the pharaohs had the birthday of them turning into gods or whatever.
Yeah.
But now the Romans were the first ones to celebrate birthdays for non-religious people.
Hmm.
So now birthdays were being celebrated by commoners, not just royalty. Romans would celebrate birthdays for friends and family, while the government would actually create public holidays to observe the birthdays of more famous citizens.
Boy, that spread fast.
Yeah, because they love to party, and they're like, yes, wow, let's create a holiday for it. Oh, and if you think about it now, we still now have holidays on certain famous people's or royal birthdays, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
But my gosh, that's quick.
Yeah.
In history. So, whoa.
Yeah, and it was like, it was really hard to figure out, like, how it progressed into something. Mm-hmm. I think it's also hard because there isn't actually that much that can be left as evidence for it unless people are writing about it, right? So a lot of, like, the pre-written, not everybody's writing in a journal, like...
Yeah.
Right? Like, that's, it's just not something that existed that much. Yeah, it's not like
there was a half-eaten birthday cake in the ashes of Pompeii or anything.
Exactly. Exactly.
Otherwise. Oh, my God.
Yeah, or was there? Okay, so at this time, even though it's like the Romans are like, okay, so non-religious people can have these birthdays. Birthdays were not allowed to be celebrated by women at this time. It was only celebrated by men.
Good grief.
It wasn't until around the 12th century that women gained the right to have birthdays as well.
Although, it's kind of surprising, 12th century.
That's crazy.
People are really making this birthday happen.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay, so for the first few hundred years that birthdays were a thing for commoners, so for the non-religious people, the Christian church considered birthday celebrations evil. Big surprise. Like, are any of us surprised by this at this point?
Well, forks, birthdays.
So they believed that, like, the earliest forms of birthdays were tied to pagan gods, which they were, because they were tied to having all of these multiple gods and whatever. So it was seen as originating from these pagan religions. They're like, no, we're not like that. And then, around the 4th century, Christians changed their minds about this, and they started to celebrate the birthday of Jesus when they had invented Christmas. Which, let's face it, was just a way for them to turn the pagan celebrations that were happening at that same time of year into a Christian thing. Like, they were trying to get followers.
Like, more, like, sacrilegious to, like, I get what you're saying, but, like, to let regular people have birthdays, right? It's almost like, no, only Jesus gets a birthday.
Right.
Not you, commoner, right?
Yeah, totally.
Hmm.
So the first men...
See, again, it's insane. People really want birthdays to happen.
They really do.
Even the church is like, okay, you guys, quick, let's give Jesus a birthday.
Yeah, let's, like, have a reason that it's okay with us now. Yeah.
Right?
So the first mention of a Christmas celebration within the Roman Empire was in 336 CE, so AD. Uh-huh. And it marked a stark change in Christian attitudes towards birthdays. Because if Jesus can have one, then we all can. Apparently, or something.
He died,
I don't
so
know.
We could
you
have
guys.
Birthdays.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, and then we jump forward to the medieval times, because this, you would not believe how hard it was to find any information about any of this.
Hey, no worries. We don't need a full timeline.
Okay, so during the medieval times, it actually ends up being Christianity that helps create the popularity and the spread of birthday celebrations across Europe. So they first started by celebrating Jesus' birthday, and then they began to celebrate the births and the deaths of the various saints.
Mm-hmm.
So here's the thing that just hit me now, where it's like, okay, in Catholicism, there's saints and everything. In, like, I was going to call it paganism. Protestantism. That we don't have saints and stuff. We don't care about that crap. But, like, the fact that they have so many saints, that the people pray to the saints, and that it's, like, such a thing. It's like, isn't that just another form of having a bunch of gods? Like, isn't that basically just exactly what all those pagan religions were?
Mm.
Right?
It's not.
But, like, in theory, it's not that far. No, like, I get that they're not the god themselves. Like,
it's
I get that.
It's more like they're kind of, like, we're like, almost, like, kind of, like, not praising, but it's not the right word, but I have to use it. People who were, like, good followers of the faith, right? Like, it's that kind
of thing. Right, but then people still, they have this, they have their patron saint and their saints that they they pray to.
Well, it's like guardian angel kind of stuff, right?
It's like, I know, it's just a bit far-fetched. You could say that, like, all of the, like, but they're not Zeus is the god of holy, whatever.
All, like, powerful, right? Like, that kind
of
thing.
Right,
like,
but a lot of the gods back in the Greek time weren't all powerful either. They were powerful in their specific realm, right? Like,
But they had, it was almost like they were, yeah, that's a good point.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
No. I get what you're saying. I know it's not the same thing.
I can see your point too. Yeah.
Like, there's definitely a difference, and I understand that, and I know that. There's a difference.
When you really think about it, you're like, oh, yeah, wait a minute.
Really, when it comes down to it, it's like, you're kind of, you just found a loophole for just having a bunch of different people you can pray to for different things.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay, so by this time in history, most European Christians had a patron saint, which they would typically celebrate on an annual basis.
Yeah.
The old Christian sects still have, like, all the, like, books and stuff of the old saints with corresponding birthdays, death days, and feast days. So they had it all, like, organized of when the saint was born, like, their birthday, death day, and feast day. So people at this time are actively celebrating days that are connected to their patron saint. Like,
right.
So everybody named John, everybody
have your birthday on that day.
Exactly. Everybody named John, their birthday was on that day of the saint's birthday. So quite often they would actually adopt the saint's birthday as their own birthday and they would celebrate it accordingly. So they would celebrate it for, like, in your family.
Age, it's like, oh my.
If you had someone named John, they would celebrate their own birthday on that saint's birthday.
Okay.
So all the people in town named John would celebrate on Saint John.
But it's the like it's the serial killer, John. Do we celebrate him or not? I mean, in the town, if there was, like, some evil, horrible person.
Yeah.
Somebody in jail. Like, do they get to have a birthday or no, right? Like,
I don't know. Probably not.
Right?
I know. So, also at this time, monarchs and other important rulers began to celebrate their own personal birthdays as an excuse to hold tournaments, celebrations, and bask in their peasants' adoration. It also helped to show their closeness to the saints and God because it was typically associated with, it had that connection to religion, right? So now they've just, like, flipped it and they're using it to their advantage.
Yeah.
Before they were like, no, no, we don't do that because only pagans do it. But then they were like, oh, wait a second. No, actually, we do that, but we do it better. And it's exactly the same thing, but it's different. Same, but different. Okay, so between the late 1600s and the early 1800s, as Enlightenment swept through Europe, it brought with it a new phase of individualism. And this heralded the beginning of the modern birthday. Because before then, everybody in the city named John just had their birthday at the time of St. John.
Yeah.
But now, with Enlightenment, people are like, no, I'm an individual and I need to be celebrated as such. So the combination of the widespread use of a universal calendar, which hadn't existed before, ideals of personal freedom, and an uptick in wealth for the common man saw an increase in personal birthday celebrations. As strict religious dogma began to wane, people started celebrating the day of their own birth rather than the day of their saint's birth.
That is the most enduring thing I've ever seen in my life, or, like, heard of in my life. Birthdays.
What do you mean?
Like, well, suddenly they're not religious and they're like, but I still want the birthday.
Yeah. Right? Like, I'm
still
going to have
a celebration.
And then you go back to being religious,
but I'm going to have a birthday, like, no matter what.
It's going to happen.
You guys. Yeah.
Because what is the point if you're not going to, like, have things to have fun? That's why I don't get when people aren't into, like, holidays or, like, their birth. Like, they're not into any of it. Like, I get if you're not into some individual things. But
weren't there
lots really
of festivals at the
anything?
Time? Harvest festivals and that kind of thing. It's kind of like, why a birthday? You really just want to be king of the castle for a day.
Everybody wants to feel important. I love my birthday. I love it. I don't
get
it.
Everyone likes
don't.
Their birthday, right? But that's like, we're such selfish creatures. It's hilarious.
Yeah, we are. That is exactly, I literally said that exact same thing to Greg earlier today. And I think in our last recording.
Yeah.
Of the podcast, where it's like, we're just so selfish. Really? Everything that we do in life, you can see, like, you know, when people ask, like, oh, are people inherently good or inherently evil? Like, no, we're just inherently selfish, and it will make us do
perfect example.
Good and evil
I never
things.
Had a perfect example of proving it, but birthdays, the history of it, and how tenacious we are about making it happen, that is the perfect. I'm not even kidding. It's right. It's like literally the perfect example.
For me,
of it.
It's the invention of all of the things we've talked about in every episode. The marketers basically will create problems and be like, oh, here, I've got a product that solves that. And,
yeah,
you know, it's like our entire lives in society right now run the way that they do because people wanted to make money way back in the day. And they made us believe that we had to have the things that we have now in order to have a successful, happy life.
You know, what's funny, right? though, I realized in the last couple of years that I'm kind of awesome, like revolutionary. Because my birthday, I insist everyone now, like, I don't really care. Like, I don't care about presents. Like, I'd rather, it's a day where I want everyone to have fun.
Yeah.
Everyone to have a good time. Like, I kind of think, like, no, I don't want it just to be about me. I want it, right?
Yeah.
Like,
but
and
see,
I tell my nephew,
school,
get,
these people
I want him to get something for himself because it'll make me happy. Right? Like,
yeah.
So don't buy me stuff. Just let's party. Let's have fun.
Yeah. But see, that's the whole thing. You would have done great back then, though, because that's what they do, right?
Right?
If it's a celebration or a feast day.
Scurvy, I wouldn't get the plague.
Well, I don't know about the plague thing, but okay.
Hey. Oh, yeah, good point.
We haven't covered that yet. Okay, so the shift in the mid-19th century. So now we went through the Enlightenment. People were starting to feel more individual. They're starting to celebrate birthdays as individuals on their own day of birth.
Ugh, I can't wait for the happy birthday song.
Oh, yeah, we'll get there.
I'm so excited.
So the shift in the mid-19th century started with kids. So some scholars have emphasized the increased attention that began to be lavished on individual children as families started having fewer of them. Because we're getting into industrial, like this is during the Industrial Revolution, there's less kids because you're not living on a farm. You don't need them as workers. I mean, you still need them as factory workers. But,
yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
But it's like, it's not the same way of life that they used to have.
Okay.
So kids' birthday parties may have been an early hint of how American children were starting to be viewed as less valuable economically as workers and more valuable emotionally as family members. I don't know. It's a bit of a stretch, but I mean, it's the rise. It was the same time as like the rise of like childhood and people starting to pay attention to kids as like childhood as a phase of life, not just as like,
and
you're all of a
sudden
let
me guess, marketers. Let's start making children's clothes and children's toys and children's shoes.
Exactly. It's like children's shoes. Before that, they were just barefoot all the time. Classic children.
And I imagine them wearing just giant boots.
Just a baby with these huge boots on. Okay, so the rise in birthday celebrations was also part of a larger shift in how people conceptualized the passing of time. So clocks in pre-industrial America were rare and seldom accurate, according to some historian guy. As the 19th century progressed, the widespread production of household clocks and pocket watches made it possible for Americans, this was from obviously a very American centric source, but I would imagine that it's like all over the place that this is happening. Well, in the Western world anyway. Okay, so it made it possible for people to constantly know what time it was. And as more people followed the schedules of factories, streetcars, and trains, they had more reason to watch those clocks. So they're much more aware of time than they ever were before, because now they're living in bigger cities. It's in more industrial. It's just a different way of life.
Right.
So as they become more aware of time, they also became more aware of how it passed in their own lives. And this newfound focus on age was visible in many 19th century institutions. Schools started using age to separate students into grades. before that, it was like the one school thing.
Classic,
like
you, yeah.
Yeah, you had all the kids in one room.
Yeah.
And doctors started using it to assess people's health and development. And not coincidentally, this was the same era when people started noting their birthdays.
Dang.
So the precision of and attention to time seem to be what link the process of industrialization to the observance of birthdays.
Hmm.
I mean, it's like it was there already, but it so just made it a lot was more like, of a thing.
Guys, now we have the most foolproof way to keep birthdays around forever.
Exactly. Science was in on it.
Exactly.
Let's invent a clock. We'll be honest. Okay, so now I have some fun facts about birthdays kind of around the world and just some random nice. Birthday stuff. And then I go into the origin of a few different birthday things.
Yes.
Okay, fun fact. In Nepal and India, on a child's first birthday, their head is shaved while being held by a special fire. Sounds super dangerous. But removal of the hair is believed to cleanse the child of any evil in past lives, and it symbolizes a renewal of the soul.
Oh.
I like that.
Me too.
I was a super bald baby, so it would have been funny for them to try to shave my head. I love this one too. A traditional Chinese birthday celebration starts with the birthday person and their family eating longevity noodles. A longevity noodle is one really long noodle that fills a whole bowl all on its own. Like it's just a bowl with just one noodle in it. And the long noodle symbolizes a long and prosperous life.
Oh, I wonder if they have that thing of like, you know, how if they can, like, however long they slurp it, how, like, how long.
Oh my gosh. Is it like how long they live?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, that would be awesome.
I love it.
Okay. This one, I don't know if it's true, but I liked some of it, and it's kind of similar to some of the stuff we have. So in Ireland, birthdays are a bit upside down, literally. On your birthday, someone flips you upside down and lightly bumps the top of your head for each year, plus one for good luck. So it's like the birthday bumps that we do, but not, we don't do it on your head.
No.
This birthday celebration is called Bump to Grow an Inch. If you make it through 21 years of head bumps, you get a set of keys on your 21st birthday to symbolize unlocking the door to your future. It'd be nice if those keys actually went somewhere to like a car or an actual house.
Yeah, that'd
but
be great.
Still.
Yeah.
Okay, so this other fun fact says that October 5th is the most common birth date in the U.S., which happens to be 9 months after New Year's Eve. And they say May 22nd is the least common birth date, although I saw on a different site that they said May 22nd was the most common. I don't know. People were all over the place. So I don't think it's that either of these is are necessarily accurate.
Do you find that with birthday information, people just get really stupid?
They get really
like,
stupid,
you know those birthstones?
And it was so painful.
Anytime I tried to find birthstones or like little like birthday, you know, the dumb like traditions, and it's like, holy cannolis, every website's different. It's like they just decide to make stuff up, and I'm like, you guys.
It's crazy. Yeah, it was so brutal having to research this because, like, there was information, but also no information, and everybody repeated the same stuff. It was terrible.
Well, even with that last episode, the sunscreen, like, a lot of just the same misinformation being just regurgitated over. And, you know, and you just, I could just feel, like, know that people would be reading that and, like, oh, that's legit, right?
Yeah.
Kills me.
And because they're like, oh, well, three different sources said the same thing, so it must be true.
It's right?
Like, yeah, no. If they're saying it word for word, like there's no difference in that sentence structure at all.
Yeah.
They just copied it from the other people.
Exactly.
Okay, so now we're going to do the origin of birthday cake.
Yes.
Because I was like, why? Why do we have a cake with candles on it? Like, when did that start, right?
Yeah, really.
Okay, so the very earliest birthday candles and cake came from ancient Greece. They weren't for individual birthdays. They were for the birthdays of their gods, just like we talked about earlier.
Right.
So on the goddess Artemis's birthday, they used to make an offering to her of a moon-shaped cake with candles on it. The candles were lit to simulate the glow of the moon. because Artemis was the goddess of the moon, amongst what? Other things. She was also the goddess of other things. I know. And the Greeks also believed that smoke helped to carry their messages up to the gods. So by blowing out the candles, you were helping to send your wishes skyward.
Oh.
Isn't that cool?
That is so magical. I can't even handle it right now.
Yeah. So I couldn't find very much else about birthday cakes until we get to basically the 18th century.
Whoa.
And this is what everybody says, that the modern sense of birthday cakes originated in Germany. And in the 18th century was when it really took off. So in the 1700s. Mm-hmm. So some sources said that celebrating a child's birthday in Germany started as early as the 13th century, but mm-hmm. most sources said it was sometime in the 18th century that it really mm-hmm. started. So I'm
okay.
going to kind of go with most sources there, even though most of them have been dumb.
And just with that earlier timeline, it makes more sense.
Yeah, and I think it fits a bit more with what was happening in the 18th, mm-hmm. like at that time. So in Germany, the birthday celebration for a child was called Kinderfest. Or Kinderfeste, like it's Kinderfest with an E at the end.
Yeah.
And is really the beginning of the modern birthday celebration in the Western world as we know it now, with cakes and everything. So Kinderfest, on the morning of a child's birthday, they would receive a cake with lighted candles on it that added up to the child's age plus one extra candle.
Oh.
The extra candle was called the light of life and represented the hope of another fully year lived. They didn't eat the cake until after dinner, though. So the family would replace the candles as they burned out throughout the day. So this cake was sitting there all day with candles burning on it. And they'd replace them as the candles burnt out. They would replace them throughout the day.
Okay.
When it came time to eat the cake, the child would blow out the candles out and make a wish or a prayer or whatever at uh-huh. that time.
Yeah.
The earliest birthday cakes were not that different from bread. They were just a bit sweeter, but they were pretty okay. plain. They were kind of coarse. Being
covered in wax wouldn't change the taste or texture of it.
Exactly. And you have to imagine that those candles were probably pretty big. Like, I don't think that they were like the little birthday candles that they have now. It's like, how big is this cake? They had to stop the tradition once the kid got over five. Okay, so in the 17th century, they started making birthday cakes more elaborate with details like icing, layers, and decorations like flowers. Hmm. So that's like pretty early on for them to be doing some of that stuff.
During the emergency number episode, did we cover when fire trucks started?
No. But it was probably around this time in Germany as well. Yeah. Okay, so, but as you can imagine, at that time, to have like these elaborate cakes was quite expensive, and so they were only affordable for the wealthiest people. So these types of birthday cakes didn't become super popular until the Industrial Revolution, so in the 1800s, or like late 1700s, and then in the 1800s.
Okay.
More ingredients were available, and they were cheaper. Mm. And it's at this time that bakeries in Germany specifically even started making pre-baked cakes for birthdays and weddings and stuff like that.
Interesting.
So that's where birthday cakes came from originally.
German. And, imagine like German plum cake for your birthday.
Oh my gosh. Yes. Yeah, it was interesting actually seeing that like some of them, like you can go and do a whole deep dive on like the bakery system and like pre-baked goods and stuff and like when that started and how that like it was a big thing. Cool. And I don't know where this like, why all of a sudden the birthday cakes popped up in Germany at this time? Like, I could not find anywhere the link between all of it from, like, ancient times. I'm sure mm-hmm. people were still doing it. It can't have just been probably. In Germany.
No.
You know? But that's the thing. Everybody was regurgitating it, and I just got impatient at some point. And I was like, you know what,
dumb, whatever. But when did Protestant stuff happen again?
13,
something? I don't know.
Yeah.
Would that have anything to do with it? No, probably not.
I don't think so.
Okay.
Okay, so now my very last thing is the origin of the Happy Birthday song.
Yes. It's some ladies, isn't it? And they have the rights to the song. And
it is. How did you know? Yeah. But it's not. It is, but it's not. Mm-hmm. So the Happy Birthday song is actually a variation of Patti and Mildred Hill's famous song called Good Morning to All. Patti and Mildred were American sisters who wrote this nursery rhyme in 1893 as a song that they thought kids would find easy to sing. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to go into a little back history about these two because they're very interesting
people.
I thought
you were going to say I'm going to sing it. Just waiting.
No,
for
you're going to sing it to me. It's my birthday.
How dare you? Good day to all. What are the lyrics?
That was good. It's basically a good morning to all. That was so good. Okay, so Patti and Mildred grew up in Kentucky, and their dad insisted that each of his four daughters had an education and a career, which was like super duper rare at the time. Because this is a time, it was like the 1800s. People are
I know. I'm like, what?
Yeah. So Patti became one of the leading people in the development of American early childhood education. Her work was a continuation and expansion of work done in Germany by the inventor of kindergarten, yeah! Friedrich Froebel.
You guys!
Full circle from episode 4!
Nice!
So she was actually known as a kindergarten reformer. She developed these, like, because she was
that
like...
sounds so funny.
She... Transformer.
No, just the idea that, like, a kindergarten program would have to be, like, reformed.
I know, it's, like, that controversial.
This is rigorous enough. You should be playing with three shapes, not two.
Basically. So she developed these block toys that were designed to be played with on the floor in a cooperative way. And it was, like, this thing, and then some other woman was, like, took her design and then, like, built on it, and it's, like, this big thing that people still teach kids in early childhood education. It's crazy. So she was, like, a big deal. Mildred, on the other hand, was an ethnomusicologist who specialized in African-American music.
What?
She was also a musician and a composer. And she is actually considered to be the likely author of an influential essay that was published under the name Johann Tonsor in 1893, because it was the good old days and women didn't publish under their own names.
Yeah.
So this essay predicted that African American music would essentially become the music of America.
What?
Which at that time also was a very controversial stance to take. Right?
Wait.
It's the late 1800s.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So they're an interesting bunch from this family.
Yeah, really?
So Patti was on the cutting edge of the beginning of the kindergartens. And in 1893, she became the head of the entire Louisville Free Kindergarten Association. Mm-hmm. She was really progressive, and just a few years after she became the head of that, she actually began training African-American teachers to run their own kindergartens, which were segregated at the time, which was, like, really unheard of at the time. So these women were, like, super progressive just in their own actions, but also in what they were, like, teaching other people, talking about, specifically with the African-American community, which I thought was really interesting.
That's so cool.
Yeah. So Patti began to enlist Mildred to compose songs that could be used to guide children through different tasks and different phases of the day. Mildred would write the music and Patti would write the lyrics. They experimented with finding songs that children could memorize and sing easily at a young age. The song Good Morning to All was one of the first songs they did, and it was published as part of a songbook in 1893. Patti says that they used many variants of the lyrics, including Happy Birthday to You, but never wrote them out or published any other lyrics. That was the only version that they published.
Okay.
Apparently, the first time that the melody and the lyrics of Happy Birthday to You were combined in print was in 1912, but it was uncredited, so we don't know who was responsible for actually combining the two things. Mm. The full song as we sing it today was published in a songbook by Robert Coleman in 1924. And in 1935, the Summey Company registered a copyright for the song, with credit being given to the Hill sisters as the authors.
Hmm.
At that time, the value of the birthday song was $5 million.
What?
Yeah, in 1935.
What?
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
Okay, so as you kind of alluded to earlier, there have been all kinds of copyright issues over the birthday, Happy Birthday song over the years. I could go and do a deep dive, but I didn't really feel like getting into the full thing. So there's all kinds of arguments and blah, 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 blah.
Right.
But it ended up that Warner Chappell Music ended up with the copyright to the Happy Birthday song, going through all these different channels. And this company was bought by this company. And so they ended up with the copyright, right?
Right.
In 2015, a federal judge in the U.S. declared that the Warner Chappell copyright claim was invalid because it only applied to a specific piano arrangement of the song and not to the lyrics and melody. Just the piano arrangement.
Oh.
So in 2016, Warner Chappell settled and agreed to pay back the $14 million that they had made in licensing fees, and the court declared the song part of the public domain.
Yeah.
So some estimate that the Happy Birthday song is the highest earning single song in history.
Oh my goodness. Because
anybody before that time, if they were, it was on anything, like technically if you were singing it out in public anywhere, you should have been paying the the licensing fee. I mean, in your own private home, it doesn't matter, but...
Say you're doing a speech or something and you use similar, so you start singing a song like at a party with a bunch of people, like just any song, like would you technically have to pay?
If you're at home, like, and it's a...
No, like you're at a party, like say...
If you're at a...
Office party, office Christmas party, and you start just singing a song...
I mean, no, jamming. Nobody's going to make you pay for that.
But technically, would you?
But technically, would you? Probably, yeah. If you're out in public...
But how the heck did Happy Birthday even make... Because... It was kind of a joke that, like, a lot of shows would avoid singing Happy Birthday because of the thing.
Right, but there were some that did it. I mean, look at the famous Marilyn Monroe, like, Happy Birthday, Mr. President, right? Like, stuff and then like maybe that.
If they had to, if they played it again, the video clip, maybe they have to, right? Okay.
Huh. Mm-hmm.
Man, I'm cheap right away. How can I get away, like, around paying...
It's interesting. Like, I remember when they kind of were talking about that of like, oh, it wasn't in the public domain, which was kind of crazy.
So crazy.
Because it's just the Happy Birthday song. But it wasn't even, the thing that gets me is that it wasn't even a song that existed in the beginning. Like, that wasn't what it was made for. It's just part of like what, like some of the lyrics ended up becoming that for when it was somebody's birthday, probably in the kindergarten class.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Okay, so very last thing, fun fact, according to the 1998 Guinness Book of World Records, Happy Birthday to You is the most recognized song in the English language. Which makes sense. And that is the origin of birthdays and some other origin stuff.
My goodness, that's crazy. Side note, because we had a little full circle moment in this episode, you just reminded me that... during my research for the sunscreen topic that I did, I kind of briefly looked into tanning stuff, and that William Kellogg, the Kellogg guy,
he
actually was one of the first people to like, I don't know if he made a tanning bed or if he even like, or like if he invented it. It was some, he was to like the very early tanning bed kind
you
of
know
thing.
What? When I was doing research about him, that makes sense because he did some of their things were that they had to lie out and had light bulbs like over them for hours on end.
It was
end.
Like a light bed or something like that.
Totally.
So I was laughing. I'm like,
because a lot of that, and that's hilarious that a lot of that stuff comes from just his like newfangled like things of, I'm going to make you do this. and we'll see what happens. It's like, know. Oh, they got a tan.
So nice. Let's make a William Kellogg Day, even though wasn't he crazy racist?
He was
something?
Terrible. Yeah, he was like a big fan of eugenics. He was super racist.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, the brother we were supposed to celebrate.
Yeah, but we don't know.
But even he. I know.
Yeah, we don't know enough Yikes. About him. He's like the better of the two, but All that's right. not saying
let's
much.
Stick to our own birthdays, I guess.
Yeah. Let's not make them our patron saints. Saint Kellogg.
So now I can sing happy birthday to you. Okay, you know what bugs me about happy birthday to you? When I started kind of jokingly singing just now that good morning to all, it was easier for me to stay in tune, I noticed. But happy birthday, when everyone sings it, it's almost impossible for everyone to agree on what the notes are, what the tune, like, no one sings it in tune. Or, like, what's that called when you sing higher and some people sing lower?
Harmony?
Right. Yeah, but not nice. Like,
yeah.
That incongruous.
Yeah, I always go to, like, a weird kind of, like, high thing. I don't know.
It's like almost
and all
impossible
I can hear is
sing.
My voice, and then
right,
it's awkward. I hate it when I'm at work and there's like it's a birthday situation. Oh, you know what birthday
sing? Yikes!
Yeah, it's awful. You know what birthday tradition type thing? I don't know why it's a thing, and I hate it more than anything in the whole world. What? Is when they make the birthday person cut their own cake.
Why do you hate that?
I hate it so much. I find it the most awkward thing because the way
it's
I'm going to cut a cake.
I didn't know that was a thing.
It's just awkward. I don't understand it. I'm like, somebody take this away from, why are you making me do work and you're putting me under pressure? Everybody's staring at me.
Yeah, that's what I would
me.
Think. Yeah, where right? it's like, no, you serve me cake. It's my birthday.
Exactly. Right? Also, because maybe it's a struggle for me because... I really love cake. So, like, if I was cutting that cake at my house, I would cut the most gigantic pieces. Mm-hmm. And I'd be like, okay, half the cake is literally, I'm just going to sit here and, like, dig into it.
Yeah, it does put
but
that
kind of,
like,
puts you under the microscope. But then I hate that everybody is standing around and they're like, oh, that piece is so big. Oh, such a big piece for me. I'm like, this is a tiny piece. What are you talking about? Like, it's just judgment. Like, there's just layers and layers of judgment there. And
also,
I hate it.
Cake sizes. In certain shows, okay, first of all, other pet peeve, when people take cake and they hold it in their hand to eat it.
I hate that. Why do you, like, why would you do that?
No.
Why? What?
No cake. Yeah. No, even icingless cake. No. Put it on a plate. Use a fork. Be
yes.
human.
Yeah. What's wrong?
But when, now, it's like, especially those trendy cakes that are like, you know, really tall, the like three-layer kind of cakes, they cut such big pieces. And I'm looking at a lot of these cooking competition shows. There's just these giant pieces. I'm thinking, is that acceptable now? Because my whole life I've been doing the dinky little modest piece of cake, praying that there's leftovers the next day.
Exactly. And then you like chow down
and
on
now
them
it's
in
okay?
private. Yeah.
It's infuriating. I'm like, you know what? My
All
birthday,
these
I'm
years.
Getting the world's biggest cake. No, not biggest cake. Yummiest cake. And I'm going to take the biggest piece.
Yeah.
No judgment. I'm going to be like, that's it. Today... But then I'd eat half of it and I'd be like, oh, I'm so full. Why did I do that?
Yeah, but then also secretly, it's the best thing. I think like that's such a big thing. I'm sure there's some kind of like psychological, like I need to go to therapy for it. But I hate sharing food with people. Like I hate it so much. There's nothing.
Psychological thing. It's like you had to fight for your food with your brother and your sister. Like, come on.
Probably. I feel such a, like, nothing brings me more joy than when I feel like I have the freedom to eat as much of something as I want.
I have
with
the exact
no one around
same
me.
Thing. Mm-hmm. I think, like, food, it's always been such an issue. It's always been, like, heavily policed. Like, my weight was always an issue and...
Yeah.
Comments and judgment.
So maybe it's
and
that
everything.
Feeling of like being in control of it without anybody
and not,
else being around, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I have to be by myself and then I have like whatever amount I want. And I usually don't like, it's not, I don't know. I have, it's the same thing. It's so funny. That's why
I will full
little...
on like have like birthday cake. Like when I make birthday cake for myself or like get a cake for myself, I will have it for. Everything, like I'll eat it for breakfast the next day.
That's
and
why
lunch,
I love.
And
when we lived together, we would make the rainbow bit cake,
the rainbow,
rainbow bit
cake.
Icing.
Oh my gosh, it's
which
like
is
a
like
sugar bomb.
Sugar bomb. Like you go into an immediate sugar coma. We'd stir from that coma, then we'd have him for lunch. Oh my gosh. Right? And it's like total freedom.
And just the most gigantic pieces.
Why am I eating this? But you're like, freedom! It was wonderful. Yeah. It's funny because now in my old age, I can't handle sweet cakes, really.
Mm.
So I'm on this quest to find like a really tasty, sorry to use this word, but I don't have a problem with it, but moist cake. Yeah. That, I hate that people don't like that word because there's no word that can replace it.
I know. It's so
like, suck it up, princess. You're going to listen to the word moist over and over and you're going to like it. Ugh. It's not like schedule, right? When people say schedule instead of schedule.
My dad says schedule all the time.
Yeah. See, that I understand because schedule is there to be used. Right?
Exactly. Yeah.
Moist. What are you going to say with your cake? My cake's wet. It's so tender and wet. Like, no. Tender. Tender cake. What's this thing? Oh, yeah. Sophisticated flavors and stuff. Like, I'm on
the quest. You know what's really good for that, though, is like the tuxedo type cakes at like.
Don't. I love tuxedo cake so much. I had it for my last birthday.
Yeah.
Because it's. You know what, you guys? What's the place? I don't know if it's Safeway or Save-On. The grocery store tuxedo cake and then the strawberry shortcake. There's this very specific.
So good.
Cake, I think it was somebody Save-On. Makes. Maybe Save-On, yeah.
Yeah.
It's like this layered cake, and it is the best, because that's what cake's supposed to be.
Oh,
not too sweet.
So good. And like dense enough, but not too dense or dry.
Yeah.
Like moist.
Definitely moist.
Yeah, not too sweet.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, just so flavorful.
My mouth
really
is just
want cake
watering.
Right now.
But I did make one for myself, a strawberry mousse, but like my own from scratch.
Okay.
Strawberry mousse cake, and that was delicious.
I'm not a big fan of mousse, gotta say.
Oh, okay. It has to be done well for me, like, but I think the homemade stuff was completely different, but I understand that.
Yeah.
But we can't be friends anymore, so goodbye.
Okay, bye.
Bye. Also, little mini, sorry, just super quick, because I love this topic. Food, there we go.
I know, this is why all of our episodes are food related.
I know. But super quick, I know one birthday tradition that, like, my family just randomly started. They got me pie. We were in BC.
Love pie. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that was kind of like, instead of birthday cake, I had pie and I thought, this is epic. So if anybody doesn't like cake, I suggest celebrating with pie because it's wonderful.
See, my problem is that I like cake and I like pie.
That's not a problem. You get both.
True. It is my birthday.
It's your birthday.
Okay.
Point. You get everything.
I'll just eat it every day for the next 3 weeks.
Oh, and another little thing. I hate cupcakes. Cupcakes should be banned from everything. They're gross and nobody makes a good cupcake. The end.
You know what I hate more
Don't
than...
argue with me or
no,
we're
no.
really not friends.
No, okay. I hear you. I mean, there were some that were
Carla's
like somewhat okay, but always left me feeling disappointed.
Why can't people make good cupcakes?
The worst was that trend when everybody had cupcake stores and you had to buy one for like $10. And you're like, this is one cupcake and it has like a pound of icing all on the top. So you either get only icing or only cupcake. Like, you got to put it in inside it.
Because when it's, that's why I like that trick where you twist off the bottom part of the cupcake and you make a little sandwich out of it.
Yeah.
But, no.
I just found them so awkward to eat.
You guys, we need to start a cake podcast because I just want to talk about cake all the time.
Have you seen on Netflix, there's this this show that is all about people making cakes that look like everyday objects. And then they bring people on that have to guess which one is the cake and which one's the real thing.
Yeah. I can't get myself to watch it.
I watched like 3 episodes and I was like, why am I watching this? It was really bad. But like, it was interesting to see. But the way they drag, because they had to make a whole show out of it. So they drag it on. I'm like, you could have just shown me this in 5 minutes and I would have been like, all of the entertainment is just in 5 minutes, you know?
Oh. If they did it on the street, that'd be way more compelling. If they had, like, just regular Joes walking by and then they're like,
because some of it, I'm like, how is that cake? It is pretty cool, the stuff that they do.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. I love that.
It was neat.
Okay. After we finish recording, remind me to tell you about the cool Dateline that I saw, but I don't want to.
But we'll just tell our listeners that we're going to talk about something real good after this.
If people want to see a really crazy episode, it's called, I think, The Hands of a Killer. It was just on a few weeks ago. Dateline, excellent episode. Crazy, so sad, but like,
Yeah. I love Dateline.
Shocking. It was very shocking.
Does it have anything to do with a cake, or is it just completely unrelated to anything?
It's completely unrelated to anything.
I like it. Okay. You're hired.
You're welcome.
Okay, guys. Thanks for listening. Remember to like, subscribe, and review. It really helps us out. You can follow us on Instagram. We are at podcast.or.something. Or you can write to us at podcast.or.something@gmail.com. And we will talk to you later or something.
Bye.
Ooh, in unison.
Nice.